So the epistle for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. Brethren, you know not that they that run in a race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things, and they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run not as at an uncertainty. I so fight not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early into the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle, and he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" They said to him, "Because no man had hired us." And he said, saith to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heat." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Please be seated. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We've entered into this transitional period after the Christmas season. You know that it ended on February 2nd. Before we start up with the time period of Lent, which starts this year on March 1st with Ash Wednesday. So in some ways, we can say that we have ended kind of the feast of grace, the opportunities during the Christmas season, and now come to what is referred to as kind of the work days. And even in some ways, we can also refer to the Sermon on the Mount, when our Lord gave to us the duties of religion, the three great duties being prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. And that's how we can also see the connection between the two seasons, our duty to God, to our neighbor and to ourself, the Christmas season being our prayer or adoration of the Christ child. And then this season, the Septuagesima and onward, the three Sundays, the good works that we have toward our neighbor. And then finally, Lent being one of self-denial and self-discipline. And so in the gospel accounts, the famous of the man hiring the people for his vineyard, when God calls us all to work. And so that's where we hear God's call, and then we respond to that. We accept then the word of God. The evening being, obviously, the end of the work day, the end of our life. And so God calls all of us to salvation. God calls all of us at different times. It just depends on when the person will listen to that. But the reward is the same. And obviously that is something that irked the ones that had worked the whole day, that had been out from the very beginning of the day itself. They certainly thought that they should receive more than what the others who maybe had just worked 1 hour, at least that was the example that they gave. These ones worked 1 hour and they received the same thing as they murmured against the one who owned the vineyard. In some ways, we can also see a similarity between the parable of the prodigal son. If you remember, that's the one son asked for, the younger son asked for his inheritance, and he goes out and he spends it, lives a life that is displeasing to God, ends up having to feed the pigs, living like one, eating like one. And it shows, obviously, how we can digress into being like an animal, because he gave into his passions, but he blew the inheritance that was given. And then when, obviously, the son realized his error, realized what he had done, he had thought at that point, well, I could go back to my father and I could actually be a hired person with my father. I mean, he treats his servants much better than the way that I'm living right now. And so he said, I will ask for forgiveness because I've sinned against God and against him. And so I will go there and try to then, obviously, work as a servant for him. But his father, obviously, was happy just to see his son. The lost sheep has come home. And so for the father, he celebrates the fact of this son coming back, his prodigal son coming back. So he says, kill the fatted calf, you know, let's make merry because my son has come home. But then you see the reaction of the elder son. He goes and he asks the servants, what's all the noise, what's going on, what's taking place? And so from that, his father comes out and asks why his son won't come in and join then the celebration of his brother that has come home. And so the elder brother mentioned to his father, you know, lo, these many years I have served thee, and you haven't done anything for me. So you can see the similarity between how his reaction also is kind of similar then to the ones that worked the whole day. That they thought because they had been faithful, they worked the whole day, they should get receive more from working in the vineyard. The elder son was wondering, well, how come we've never celebrated the fact that I've been faithful to you my whole life? You know, I've been here, I've worked, and you haven't had a party for me, you haven't done any celebration for me. And it's interesting to see how one, then the father will answer his son. You know, so the father tells him, everything that I've had has always been yours. Everything that I have here on earth has been yours. And so then in the same way, we see the owner of the vineyard saying this, the same thing to the ones that had worked the burden of the day, the whole time. That he says to them also, look, I do you no wrong. Did we not agree to the one penny, one denarii, whatever you want to call it? And it shows, obviously, the owner of the vineyard, being the example of Almighty God, that for us, the reward that God gives to us will be the same, yes. God willing that we all reach heaven. So whether we worked our whole life for that, whether God converts it to the very end of our life, I mean, the reward is going to be the same, God willing. But in some ways, we can also look at maybe the work that is done, whether it is the eldest son, whether it is the people who work the whole day out in the heat. But sometimes by what their statements say, it undermines the fact of the quality of the labor in God's vineyard. You can have someone who works their whole life without the proper spirit, without the proper love of God, and in a way it amounts to really nothing. But then if you have someone who has, maybe through the short time of serving Almighty God, a fervor, a diligence in showing their love for God, they can gain much more than that. And I think that's the thing that must impress upon us is that fact. We can't take for granted what we have. May we've been born into the traditional movement. We have to be thankful to Almighty God for what He has given to us, and we have to express that gratitude through our life of trying to live a life that is pleasing to Almighty God. It's not just because we're born into this that we're going to be saved. It requires for us to show that love to God. And that is where then, yes, we can say we can't undermine the quality of the work that we do. The work is symbolic of, obviously, our religious duties that we have to God. That virtue of religion that we talk about, that we see in the catechism. That is what we owe to Almighty God. And so that will be determinant of the reward that we gain out of this life. How well do we express that to God? How well do we show that to Almighty God? And that is what we will be based on, the reward that we gain from that. Because God sends His grace, He sends eternal life through His mercy for all of us. So in a way, it's not owed to any of us. We can't say, because I've done this, God, before. Well, no, none of it is owed to us. We owe to Almighty God the adoration that He deserves. And so therefore, it must be expressed in our daily lives. It must be shown through our daily lives. I mean, one, we can think of the good thief. I mean, talk about it in a way, someone who stole heaven. I mean, here he is, he lives a life, obviously, worthy of being killed on the cross. But because he had shown strong faith in Almighty God, our Lord hanging on the cross, he gained paradise at that moment. And so for us, we look to that as what a great means of the mercy of Almighty God on a soul. But talk about an 11th hour conversion in a way. And he's literally hanging on the cross when he receives the words from our Lord that he said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." That he receives his salvation hanging on the cross. And so I think that's something for us that we have to try to understand. It is the quality of the love that we have for God that will determine the reward that God gives to us. We can't just claim because I've been at it for so long that I'm going to be saved. I mean, no, it is how well do we love God? How much do we show that love to Him every day? And so granted, if we've been blessed by being growing up in the traditional Mass, well, all the more so do we have that responsibility before God. We know what we must do. We know how we should love God. And it will be expected from us. The more that is given, the more that is expected. So as I say, when we look at whether the eldest son in the parable of the prodigal son, we look at these workers that have worked the day, they murmur against Almighty God ultimately because they don't feel they're getting the just reward for themselves. But when we understand and recognize the fact that the just reward is based on the mercy of God, it's not owed to any of us. And so therefore, we must show that. We must work as we work in the vineyard of our Lord. That quality, that love for God that we must have. And so let us do be impressed upon during this, this time period as we prepare for Lent, preparing our soul for this holy season that is quickly upon us. So we have these three Sundays, these three weeks to try to prepare our soul for Ash Wednesday and the start of it. Start thinking now what we can do for God. Whether it's adding, whether it's subtracting from our life. So that we can have that quality love for God. That we will illustrate that love that we have for Him. Because as it says at the very end of the Gospel, many are called, but few are chosen. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.